Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And good morning to you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, my saints and sinners, children of God. And what bright morning star leads three foreign astrologers to the manger in which the newborn Christ lies? And what an amazing and kind of odd story that we celebrate on the Epiphany, because these three men were not of the Jewish faith. No, in fact, they were practitioners of arts that were somewhat frowned upon by the devout Jew, that actually the Jewish people would actually find it offensive. The divination of things in the future by virtue of the alignment of the stars in the sky, not a very popular belief system in Israel. And so why do we include this story in the arrival of these three wise men from afar to bear witness to the newborn king? And this is an account of three pagan Gentiles bearing gifts to be witnesses to the one who is to come and lead all into glory and reconciliation with God. Indeed, it is a tale of revelation. Here we go. Of God showing the people of the world that this Christ is here for them to reconcile his children, the world, the whole world, from darkness into the light of Christ. We also have the letter of the from Paul to the Ephesians, where Paul is writing as a prisoner of Christ Jesus, but he is referring to his situation, thank you, that he has been locked up on account of his teachings and beliefs. Or is he talking about another sort of prisonership when he says, I am a prisoner of Christ? That he's a prisoner on behalf of Christ. That he is a prisoner in order that he may continue to commission. The commission to people like those of Ephesus, who he has never met, as he writes, but he is surely interested in conveying the good word of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some very interesting prepositional phrases to be found in the letter of the Ephesians, this passage, and that we encounter here, wherein Paul speaks of the mystery of Christ. He talks about sharing in the promise of Christ, of the good news about the boundless riches of Christ. And finally, faith in Christ Jesus that gives an access to God. Paul first lays out this mystery, which apparently had remained a secret from all humanity, this mystery that is suddenly made known until in the recent years. And he explains this great mystery in its fullness, that the people of God are no longer just the people of Israel, that rather the great mass of people of God that God chooses for salvation include both Jews and Gentiles. Among them. Indeed, God's love for his children is all-encompassing, and God's promise in Christ is to be inherited among all of humanity, whether they are the original inheritors of the covenant of Abraham or not. Paul writes about his own journey as a servant and underscores this humility that he has because, as we know, Paul was one of the greatest persecutors when he was named Saul of early Christians. And sometimes, and someone who himself, having received his own epiphany on the road to Damascus, blinded by the light of the Spirit, and quickly taught to become a man who shares the good news and brings the light of Christ to new places, rather than someone who sought to destroy the unity of God's people. As Paul describes the news of the boundless riches of Christ, which are available to both Gentile and Jew alike, that the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, is the one true God of all people, the only God and bringer of salvation to all. And finally, Paul tells us that this saving grace for all the people is not, in fact, this new thing. This is not something that God just invented when he brought Jesus to the earth. but one that was done with a divine purpose, foretold, foreshadowed, one which God always intended, but only now revealed through the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, even though when we read the letter as it was written, some 60 years after the birth of Christ and some 30 years after his ascension, we also cherish it for what it teaches us in the world today about living in reconciliation with one another. Because in the church here in the United States, often when we talk about reconciliation, what we are speaking of is our reconciliation with God Almighty, the mother and father of us all, who created us and is always creating. And it is true, for we may as individuals be part of that ever-expanding and beloved creation. But what is revealed by this divine epiphany that Paul explains about in Ephesians is that the mystery of the ages means that we are at the same time reconciled to one another. This great cloud of saints and sinners, that all nations and all races will come to the table and feast together on the salvation that God in Christ Jesus has in store for us. So we look at that in regard to the work that God sends us to do. There is no denying that you and I each individually have a relationship with God. It might not always be obvious to one of us at all the time. We might, some of us might actually be uncomfortable with personal, individual prayer, going into a quiet corner and talking to God. That doesn't come naturally to everybody. I'm sure there's people in here that don't feel comfortable doing that. We might wish God to speak to us clearly and with no unmistakable words, without ambiguity, when we seek answers rather than getting responses from the world around us that we might chance to miss if we're not paying attention. But whether or not we feel it, God has a relationship to each and every one of us, personally and individually. But when an understanding of a gospel of reconciliation is left just between you and God, or between me and God, we commit kind of a sin of omission that reduces the community that we find in church to a mere gathering place of people with like interests, rather than the holy come together that it is meant to be. Reconciliation is the coming together of all people. It is a reconciliation of all people, Jew to Gentile, American to foreigner, baptized to non-baptized, faithful to questioner, believer to non-believer. Reconciliation is a means to underscore the great change that we in the church have to finally, once and for all, admit, particularly here in the Western world, that our saving work has often left other marginalized people out in the cold. That this sin that we call racism, that all too often has been promulgated in the name of Christ, needs to be actively and intentionally dismantled in order that we may adopt a more rigorous standard of reconciliation to one another. We are called as his new disciples to share bread at a table that seats everyone with others who might not be like each other. They might not look like us, act like us. They might even smell a little bit different than us. And the reconciliation that God calls us to has sent us in his Son a calling to put down resentments towards our fellow friends, parishioners, acquaintances, to love one another as God loves us and seek out those that we have wronged and make amends, and to look to those who wronged us and see if we can offer forgiveness as well. God's desire for unity in the church calls us to join in the spirit of reconciliation and sometimes have awkward moments with each other that turn into moments of growth and love, that we may be the holy gathering that he calls us to, the body of Christ Jesus. It is in this great gathering of the witnesses to the work of God in the world by the power of the Holy Spirit that the mystery of God is revealed, that God's love is for all of God's people, not just a few of us, not just those of us that show up on Sunday morning, not just those of us that believe, but God loves all his people. The church itself, which is a participant in the revelation of the holy mystery of Christ, that is not up to individuals to determine who is a part of salvation. But God chooses the opportunity for all of humanity. And so for us, for God's congregation, it's up to us to pay attention to one another, to pay attention to who is being marginalized and who is being left out, who is being made to feel unwelcome, and who is being told to leave, and why. It's up to us to invite and engage each other in this great gathering, this gathering of God's people. It's up to us to accept the commission of God's Holy Spirit among us and the love that God provides for us to share with one another in his name. We are called to follow that bright star that God has set out for us, and discovering the miracle that has been born by the wondrous love that God has for all of God's people, in order that the world, the whole world, be reconciled to God, and the nations be reconciled to one another, and we, God's children, be reconciled to each other, that we are able to proclaim the good news about our Messiah, Christ, who was born humbly in a basket of straw, to be the King of love and mercy, and to rescue humanity from death, that we may all know the light of God's love today and evermore. Amen.